Welcome to episode 26 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we have a special guest today again. So our next guest was actually, we kind of have like a non-existent physical, but it's in the back of our mind list of goals of people we want to interview. And you were actually on our list. So everybody, or not everybody, but Dayla, say hi to everybody.
Hello, people.
So you guys heard me talk about Dayla before on the podcast because we go see her at her gigs and stuff like that. And I've mentioned her as one of the women in the valley that DJs and stuff. So I guess let's just get it going here really quick. The Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. The email, if you want to say you love us, you hate us, you want to send us music to feature on the show or whatever it is, it's justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And Dayla, are there any social media handles or websites you want to highlight?
Right now, I'm also Instagram under Dayla is the name. That is D-E-L-A. Dayla is I-Z-D-A-N-A-M-E. I had to...
keep it old school.
Yeah, I know. It's like, because there were so many people on the Dayla on there. Also, I have my own website,
mp4tm.com.
All these initials. Yeah, musical pleasure for the masses. So it's, and also on my Facebook, you can follow me on my personal page on the Dayla. And also, I have my musical pleasure for the masses Facebook page, and it's pretty much that's it on Facebook. Also, you can follow me, my mixes on mixcloud.com/Dayla0576. So check me out on there.
Perfect. And we'll give everybody those handles so that they can easily follow you too.
Yeah, no.
So we're just really quick. Is there anything else you wanted to get?
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Want to crowd people's heads right now. Maybe we'll come back later. Like, she got everything.
They're like, I got a positive rewind it. Hold on. No, well, when we had Coco on here, he had so much, and I told him, I was like, how do you keep all that in your head straight? He's all, I don't know, man.
No, you have to write them down sometime.
Yeah, exactly. So really quick, an event I wanted to highlight was... they're every Saturday at Crescent Ballroom. It's going to be Basement Tapes Phoenix. So if you want to follow them, it's Basement Tapes PHX. And they're going to be at Crescent, and they're playing, like, basically, it seems like neo soul, hip hop, R&B, like new school stuff. So the DJs are Vex Brown, Ricky T, and My God Complex. And I'm really excited for that. It's on the balcony. So it's a reoccurring event in the valley because we don't really have anything like that.
No, we don't. No, I actually got to meet My God Complex last year at a record fair he was doing at the was it Main Street and Mesa?
Yeah, the Nile.
Yeah, that was the first time I met him, and actually had him out as a guest at the Bikini. Yeah,
oh, I've never even met them. I just seen them, and I liked what they had
real
going
cool
on.
Guy. I knew he wasn't from here when I heard his music. I'm like, he has to be from the Midwest. Like, yeah, real cool guy.
Yeah.
But he has told me about the Basement Tapes, so I have to check them out too.
Yeah, that's cool. I know we're gonna. I can't go today, but I will definitely be making. Was today Saturday? Yeah. My mind's all off. But probably next week, since it's every Saturday, you guys, no one has an excuse. Everyone could check it out every once in a while and see what's going on. So I'm like really excited for that. And Dayla, do you have anything you want to give out?
So every fourth Saturday on at the Bikini, me and my husband, we host Musical Pleasure Saturdays. And we're every fourth Saturdays at the Bikini Lounge. So we pretty much do like a mixture of like soul, funk, disco, little old school. So we pretty much do like a whole like genre of everything. So a good crowd down there, and that's every fourth Saturday, starts at 10, we end at 2. It's been pretty cool. So this month, I think we've been going strong since February, so this will probably be our ninth party, I think, this year. I'm counting, because I know we missed 1 month. I think it's more like our ninth or tenth party we held down at the Bikini, so we actually be going on 1 year next February.
Oh, cool. Are you going to do like an anniversary thing? Maybe?
Yeah, we're going to do an anniversary party. So we're getting that together. Pretty much we bring in me, myself. I pretty much have guests like every month. So, yeah, check it out. Have about one or two guests every party. so we can get like a different, you know, vibe of music. And people, it's been going strong so far, so hopefully we can keep it up.
Yeah, because when we go, I notice that you start, because we'll go at the beginning. And
yeah, I'll open up, and then I'll, yeah, I pretty much open up the parties, and then I'll let my guests kind of come in, and then I'll just close it out, you know, the night. So people can know that it's actually, you know, I'm the resident DJ there, and we don't just open it up to just guests, so people can feel like a different vibe. And a lot of guests that I bring in are people, you know, that no one's probably ever knew that they, you know, actually held events in the valley or whatever. Or and also getting down on the vinyl, that was like my whole big thing of keeping it all vinyl,
because yeah. Those are your roots, right? Yeah, which we're gonna roots, get into.
Yeah. Keeping it all vinyl.
Which I'm excited to talk about that. So I'm really excited to get more of your background, and because I did read your bio, but it's always nice talking to someone and actually getting more of a personal interaction with them. Cool, so yeah. And Andrew, you are ready.
Oh, yeah. So it is my segment. Do you know the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 on the date of your birth?
I do not know that. Would it be, I don't know. Maybe it's Earth, Wind, and Fire or something, or a heat wave? Who is it?
So on the date of your birth, the number one song was Boogie Fever.
By the Silvers.
Yes. She's all, Silvers. Okay.
And you know what? That's so ironic, because my husband just went through that the other day, and I couldn't remember that. I wish he was here to, like, kind of, you know, get in. But, yeah, he was on the internet just looking at stuff, like, the day we were born. Actually, we was on, like, our ancestry DNA stuff, and we were just going through stuff that was happening the day we were born. He actually did tell me.
Oh
that.
My god, remember that. Like, that's what you're like, I think I know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
When you said, I'm like, oh shit, my husband told me about that too. Like, yeah, he did say that. It was Silvers.
So cool. I thought it was a really good song. So, on the other thing is the number one song when you were 14 years old is supposed to define your life, right?
That's what.
So
the people
I say. Actually had the top 10 songs on your date of birth when you were 14 years old. So I was going number 10. Number 10 was Aerosmith, What It Takes. Number 9 was Roxette, It Must Have Been Love. Number 8 was Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison, which is one of my favorite songs ever. I don't know why. I just love it.
High school days.
she's all getting flashbacks.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Trying to like remember like what were we grooving to when I was 14. Like.
Number 7 was I Want to Be Rich, Calloway.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what it is either.
That one I have no clue.
Is it country? Or?
I know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Number 6 was All Right by Janet Jackson.
Hold on. Yeah. Was number 7 Calloway, you said? Okay, because you said number 6 was Kelly.
Oh, my mistake.
So 6 is Janet.
Number 5 was Sending All My Love, Lenier.
Don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that one
is. Number 4 was Hold On by Wilson Phillips.
Hold on. Yeah, I don't like this song, but I know it.
Is it country? Or?
No, it's like those girls. Brian Wilson and Brian Wilson's daughter, I think. I don't know. Someone's, but they were like... both of their parents were in musical acts, and then they were in the music video. They're like sitting on a beach, and they're just sitting there like talking. The sand or something.
It sounds really, really lame.
If you hear it, you'll probably be like, "Oh, I think I remember this one."
Number 3 was Heart. All I Want to Do Is I don't know what M. It cut off. I'm not gonna lie, but it's Heart. Number 2 was Sinead O'Connor. Nothing Compares.
Oh yeah, that was big.
And number 1 on
Can you take a random guess? So in 1990, right?
Yes, 1990.
The number 2?
Number 1.
Number 2 was Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
Number 1. 14 years old.
So Poison was on there.
Poison. I Want to Rock.
No, it was actually Vogue by Madonna.
Oh, wow. Can't believe that.
Does that define your life?
Poison was probably about the number one song. Like, so everyone liked Madonna, huh?
So does Vogue define you?
Well, you know what? Because that was probably like the number one video back then. We used to have like this channel called the Music Box. So that got played when I was like around that age. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it's Hot 100. So it's just like the
base gel, like
whatever chart.
Broke it down like.
Yeah,
billboards.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just the general chart, not like the specific where it breaks it down by genre. It's like whatever was number one in the country or whatever at the time. So I think mine was Smooth by Santana, which I was like, that does not describe my life at all. Life has not been smooth. And his was Mariah Carey, Heartbreaker, right?
Yeah, Heartbreaker. It was Heartbreaker.
But was it, I think it was the remix. Was it the remix? I don't remember. I think it was the original, like not the remix, but he had the original. And I was like, I don't know if that defines your life. What do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't go with me. At 14, I think I was on a whole another level. Yeah.
So, Dayla, as most people know, you're not from here, correct?
I am not. I'm from Chicago, born and raised. Migrated here 4 years ago.
So what side of Chicago were you originally from?
South side of Chicago, what they call the low end. my family moved a lot, so it was different neighborhoods of Chicago, but pretty much more of the south side of Chicago. Yeah. Migrated here. October actually made 4 years for us here in Phoenix. So we're the Phoenix family now.
So does it feel like home at all?
Not quite yet. I will probably say about another year, but what makes it home for us are the people that we know here now. We've met a lot of people since we migrated here, so that pretty much makes it home for us, and a lot of people we've met have actually come from Chicago, so I guess that kind of
that little family.
Yeah, so yeah, but give it another year, we'll be home.
So you, like you said, you grew up all over different areas, mainly on the south side of Chicago. And was music always a thing in your life? Did your, you know, whoever, like your parents or your grandparents or anything, were they into music?
Music was embedded in us. And like, I can believe that Silvers probably was the number one song back then. And that's probably why I am today in that disco era.
You're still boogieing, right?
Yeah, still boogieing and discoing. But yeah, pretty much my dad used to always sit around. My dad used to collect a lot of albums. My mother used to listen to just like everything. And being in that environment, I have an uncle that, you know, he's the DJ, and everyone was pretty much like music and art people. We were more like the Renaissance family. So it was like growing around artists and musicians and everything just kind of, you know, guiding me through the world of just music, just knowing every genre of music. My dad was a big jazz collector, so I used to sit around, and even if, you know, I would see an album cover, like, hey, my dad used to have that album cover, but never knew like the songs on there. So I would buy it and be like, oh, I see why.
Now that you matured, like, more.
Mm-hmm. So it was more like a visual thing far as like collecting music. I would see that album, like, hey, I remember that album. My dad used to have that. And then I would go and listen to it and be like, nice. Yeah.
So how did you start? Like, because you're saying music's always been in your life, and obviously probably records have. I can assume that. So when did you actually start like DJing?
So starting with me was more growing up, just getting music from like my dad and my uncle. Like I said, I was like one of those different kids growing up. So when I was about 7, me and my cousins, we used to have like this, because he was into music too. And we like bought like equipment, and we had like little turntables. You know, back then we used to play around with like a tape recorder and just a turntable. That's all we had. That was all we couldn't afford. So our parents would like buy us stuff. So we were mixing off like tape recorders and one turntable. And it started off with hip hop was our thing. So we started this group called Members Only. And,
Members
like,
only.
So like, how old is, so only. You were like a teen?
Yeah, we were like I was about 8 when we actually started. My God. 8 years old.
You're a baby.
Yeah, I was a baby. But we it was just so crazy because you never meet kids that's like into music. So we used to have like this little beat machine that we had. We used to make little beats and stuff, little hip hop beats. And then eventually as we got a little older, we started like, you know, messing around with the turntables, and it was just I'm sharing you back in my personal, like, me of mixing, like, how I've begun to, like, blend. I used to blend the Sugar Hill Gang, White Lines. That was, like, my song. And I used to, like, over and over again, just play it until I perfected the blend. And that's how I just learned how to just blend all songs and stuff. But that was like, I never gave up. Like, and then what we came up like the breaking era. So it was like that, you know, break beats and stuff like that we were into. So I was just always try to like perfect that beat. Like, and that's how I came up with just straight hip hop. I started actually all hip hop. That's how I learned. Yeah. As I got older, I got more mature with the music and, you know, went into like, you know, just the house music and underground and eventually got into like disco. Disco wasn't actually my favorite. It was like I started off just all hip hop and like underground house music. That was it. That's how I came up.
So when did you start doing the disco thing?
Disco was pretty much as I got to know more of different people. Just being around and, you know, being around parties. I was always a big disco fan from the music that my uncle used to share with me, because he used to go to all like the, you know, old Chicago parties. I don't know if, you know, some of you guys may have heard like the Warehouse in Chicago, the Music Box, like all the old house forums where it was like the more like a thing like the Paradise Garage in New York. So you know, they had a lot of parties like that in Chicago, and he used to be big back then, and he used to bring me back all these, you know, mixtapes of like old school Ron Hardy tapes, and, you know, like, hey, I like that music. You know, it was more like a disco type house music, Chicago house, and I just started listening to it and then getting to know other people and listening to how they play and, you know, just listening to the old school songs. So disco became like my thing then. It was like, but I was still more on like the funk, because I got a lot of that from the jazz that I grew up from. So it all kind of like blended in as I kept like, as I matured and just kept playing and playing. Eventually I just started collecting everything. But I still have like a lot of like my old like hip hop albums that I started off with. Still have them.
You still have the original ones?
Yes, the original ones. Yep.
So what was it like when you were 8 years old? So was there like a certain record store or multiple record stores?
Most of the records back then, it was a lot of 45. So I had a lot of 45s in my collection. Like when I was like 8 and 9 years old, we would go to a record store and they were big on like 12 inches. You didn't get many like albums. Like I didn't know how to go into a record store. And plus I was young. I didn't know.
You're a baby.
Yeah, I was a baby. I didn't know about any record shops. They just used to have like local shops on the street, you know, it'll be next to a candy store, you'll see a music. Basically that's what it was. And you know, back then we used to collect like posters, so you would get those I forget those magazines that we used to collect, but we were big on like going in and get magazines just to get the posters out of the magazines. And there you would find like records. They will have what they used to call maxi singles. They were like 12 inches, how we play today, and they were mostly 45. So you go in, buy your records, and back then it wasn't expensive like records are today. Literally records used to be $1 or $2, like boom, $1.99.
So would you save, like, did you get allowance money and you would save it? Or
I would save it and go buy records. Yep. And then my mom, she kind of knew growing up that I was you know, get into music. So she would buy me like these, and they still sell them today, the little record players, like the preschool record players or something like that.
Like a Fisher Price.
Yeah, Fisher Price. So she started buying me, you know, stuff, keyboard. She bought me a little Casio keyboard, because she knows we used to play around with the little, little record beat thing.
Yeah, that's on
the
there.
The beat machine. So she bought me a keyboard and just getting me into it. She knew that's what I liked, so that's what she bought.
So you're really lucky because you had people around you that were encouraging and not pushing you, but just like, oh, you're curious and you're interested, so I'm gonna go ahead and let you keep going down that path.
Yep. I had my little beat boxes. She used to buy me like the little handheld little stereo boxes you can take out and like, be outside. Like,
so did you really do that?
Yes. I had a pink Casio tape deck, radio. Just put the batteries in there. You get the AM and FM radio, and you can switch it over to the tape mode.
That's amazing.
Yep. So I used to listen to a lot of the radio stations back then. BMX was one of our main radio stations that play like all the house music, and they would come on like Fridays and Saturdays, and we would just sit there. I would have like my blank tapes ready to record and just record them all night, listen to them. Like, that was a thing.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So like you said, you took to hip hop, and that's what your foundations are.
My roots are, yeah, it was hip hop. Yeah,
that's how it started. As you got older, and you know, like you said, you started young and you had your little crew and stuff like that. So as you got older, did you venture out? Did you just keep practicing and it just was always in you?
It was just like more practice and more of, since like the kids in the neighborhood, like, I was never like, I'm gonna tell you when that originated too, the name De La. I was never like De La. I used to be called Pebbles. Actually, that was my name because I used to wear this ponytail all the time. Just one ponytail. So my nickname became Pebbles.
Like a side ponytail? Yeah,
no, it was just like, y'all would wear it to the side one ponytail. But it was just one ponytail. So wear it up high. And I used to be in this dance group too. It was Omega House. That's what we call ourselves, Omega House. So I used to actually do like a lot of the dancing and stuff. And, but a lot of people knew that I was like that neighborhood DJ. And you didn't find it normal for girls back then to be DJs. Like, she ain't no DJ. You see, like, she don't know how to play no music. And then people got to know that I did. So I used to just like the music that I had, I would just like record people music on tapes. They would give me like blank tapes and I'll go home and record music for them, you know. And I used to like sell them in class. Like, that was my little hustle.
How much would you sell your tapes for? Do you remember?
$3 wasn't much. It was enough to go buy some records and, you know,
more tapes.
Yeah, go to the candy store, get some pickles, some sour pickles and cookies. So it was enough.
Little snacks.
Yeah, I was always a hustler. I hustle everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I used to do parties. Just like we would have like neighborhood parties. I would be the DJ. And I didn't have much equipment. I would probably bring in like 2 tape recorders. That's all I had. I didn't have turntables, so I couldn't afford all of that stuff. So whatever I had, I made use of it, and I made money. So people would pay me to come in and do their little parties and stuff. And then most of the time, I didn't charge because that was just me, you know, practicing and, you know, perfecting my my passion of music. So, yeah, it was fun in those days. So, and then as I got older, it was just more of me being like a home DJ until I got to know more people and people hearing of me. And it's like, hey, she's good. You know, yeah, you invite her out here to do this.
Seeing that you have actually your thing going on and like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was a lot of guest spots here and there. And, I never had a, residency in Chicago. It was pretty much all just like guest spots and stuff.
So growing up, was your uncle your main mentor, or did you have other mentors along the way?
He was my only mentor at the time. My dad, you know, he was the one that actually embedded it into me. But following and perfecting me, my uncle was that guy. Yeah, literally, we would sit here like we're sitting here now when you guys have your headphones on, and I would go up and, you know, he'll just like listen to me in his headphones, like, nope, go back, start it over. Like, he would make sure I'm doing the right thing. Yeah, okay, get that. No, that was off. Go back, do the same thing you were doing, but do it a little smoother. And he pretty much perfected my transition.
And your ear and everything.
Yeah, he was my ear. Yeah, because it was like I wanted to be, not saying perfect, but that was a personal thing with me. I think it may have pushed me more by being a female, because females didn't get a lot of gigs back then. It was like this male dominant area of like being a DJ.
So did you ever feel like back then, like I have something to prove because I'm representing not just myself, but there's more pressure on me because they're like, oh, look at her. She thinks she knows what she's doing.
And when you're a female, people put more focus on you because they, you know, they're waiting on you to make a mistake.
They're more critical. They're more critical.
Yeah, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, she can't play. You know, so they'll see your name on a flyer, like, whatever, that's a girl, you know, she's not going to. But then they come in, it's a different surprise. Like, hey, she got down. Like, I'm going to follow her. Like, you know, I'll see her at the next party.
Well, like my friend Edna, she's in the record club with me. And like I said, we just started. We don't consider ourselves DJs. We're more like track selectors because we're working on stuff. And we just like to have fun and share music. Like, I've always loved music, been into it. But anyways, we had her meet us at Bikini to hear you and stuff, because I told her, I'm like, you have to come. I'm like, because like you hear other stuff. I'm like, but she's like, I'm like, you just, it's different. I feel like when you play, and not just because you're a woman, but that makes it extra special, I think. So she came and she was like, wow, like she was blown away and she really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so
I'm glad she did. Yeah, and that's what I saw. And then I liked seeing like how you guys used to come down and then you see the same people like, okay, I'm doing something right.
People are coming back.
Yeah, if they're coming back, then they're liking it. So I try to keep more of, you know, what I do and don't change it up much. But a lot of people, I do get a lot of people, different people that come in. So I'll like kind of change it up a little, but still keep it at that same like basic format that I had before. And I think that's what people like.
Like you're,
cause you know what to expect.
Because you play, because what I always hear from, like I talk to different DJs and I always just ask them like, hey, like what's some advice that you would give? And one of the number one things I mostly hear is like, play what you want to play and not necessarily like in a selfish way, but like play what you want to play and things that you feel like people, you want to share with people.
Yeah. It's like, don't, and then a lot of times they say, don't be your own DJ. You kind of feel what people like and that's what you do. Because if you kind of like stick on what you like, and some people may not like what you like, you know, so you have to like feel your crowd, your, you know, audience or whatever type of artist you are and kind of vibe what people like. And that's, you know, that's what keep people coming back for more. Like,
so there's a question that I've been wanting to ask you specifically since you're technically not from here. You've been here, like you said, had your 4-year anniversary being here. So how is the community aspect of it in Chicago, you think, compared to here? And not, I'm not saying like necessarily even present day Chicago, but just from your experience from growing up in there.
From growing up, most of the what I can say, and I'm not, you know, trying to down anyone, but most venues that I've been to in Chicago is majority of all DJs coming into a party. So it's more criticism. So they're coming to not party, because they're not coming to dance, or they're coming to listen to music, and they're coming to with criticize the, any mistake.
They're in there with their ear.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
Not their feet.
Let me listen to how she blends this next song. You know, it's not like I'm coming to like party and groove. But here, and I had this discussion, me and my husband, because it was like a breath of fresh air, like coming here without people knowing you. And people here, they like to dance. They come out, they want to party. They're not coming out to critique on how you play or what you play. They're coming to actually enjoy themselves. And when you see people enjoy themselves, that makes you a stronger person as far as a DJ, because you want to keep those people grooving. And that's what I like about here. There in Chicago is more like, I don't like that song, so I'm not going to get up and dance. You know, and I don't like the way she played that song. And it was just a lot of criticism.
More like you're saying, that, or how they come with their ear, not with their feet. Like, I'm just here to have a good time.
Yeah, and they only come in, you know, when they know, like, the well-known DJs. I was never like that big DJ, that big headline DJ ever. I was more just like doing guest spots, so people would never come when the guest plays. They would only come with like the big headliners get on and play. That was pretty much how Chicago was.
Well, you won an award, right? Because you were in a competition?
Yeah, it was more like a local bar. Like they used to have like these DJ contests where they're like a set of you do like a Big Ten, like almost like the
like a Royale. Yeah.
So you get past this level and you go on. So not to say that I was like the best, but people liked how I play versus the other, and I was actually the only female in that competition. So I'm like, whether because I was a female, like no,
you're like, because you're actually good.
You know, I was good. Yep. So that was.
So were any of the men sour that day? Or they were all good because they're like,
they
you
were
know,
all to yeah, me. Yeah. They were all good. I thought they were, and it wasn't because. And then a lot of them had names that people knew, and but that didn't make a difference, you know. People voted on what they liked.
Voted on, like, yeah, that's what you're saying. And so being a woman, too, like, because some of the things that I've heard other people say, not about you or me necessarily, just things you hear in general from in life, like, one of the things I hear is being a woman, I'll hear other women say, like, automatically they're like, well, I don't get along with other women, so I don't know if I'm gonna like you, or they're really hesitant to support other women. Have you ever run into that?
No, most of the like my people that I've been around have been very supportive. Even like the female DJs that I've known that I've come across, we've never like shaded anything on each other. It's like we always come out and support, and that's a big thing. I like to support everyone, regardless if you're male, female, if I know that I like you and you know you're doing the thing, I'm coming out of support.
Yeah, that's how we are. Like, if I like what you're doing, it, and especially if you're having fun doing it, like, yep, that's the main thing. I like to see people, whether they're dancing, having fun, or the actual person. DJ, yeah, or whatever, playing music. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's I'm cool, I'm laid back person. So if you guys don't know me, you see me, I may come on. Like, a lot of people would tell me, oh, she's mean because of the way I look sometimes.
You don't look like, mean at all.
I intimidate people on my look. Or like, I used to get that a lot. Like, when people finally get to know me, then they start telling me the real truth. I just thought you was mean, you know. You were mean. Like, no, it wasn't like, you know, you acting stuck up. Like, no, it wasn't
You're
mean.
Just more, I think, yeah, when you're not so extroverted, sometimes people just misread you.
Yeah, so when they got to know me, it was like, oh, you're cool. Like, yeah, I know. I was trying to tell you that a long time ago.
Y'all talk to me. Yeah, open your mouth. Don't stare at my face. Right.
Just sit there and look at me. Just come talk. Say hi. So any of you guys see me, you know, around, just come shake my hand. Like, get the conversation going.
Exactly. And I think I've seen you. It's funny because I've had very minimal conversations, actual conversations with you. And I think I've seen you more just being at Loose Joints.
Yeah, it does. Like, and I know it. And then I start confusing people because, you know, a lot of times we come across people, we see them, but we don't and actually have conversations.
To be fair, it's so dark in there in Valley Bar, and when you're DJing behind the booth, the bikini is
and like, you know, I don't mean to be like, when people come up, did you? They'll ask me a question like, I don't remember you asking me that. It's like, and then you're thinking of somebody else. Like, okay, that was her. It's like, no, but I know I get to know a lot of people now from Loose Joints. It's like, see me. And then they're like, do you remember me? I'm like, y'all, Cardi, I don't think so.
Vaguely, yeah, you're like, maybe. Like, I know. I don't get offended.
I'm not
like
I'm trying to be mean or like diss people, but like, I don't know. If you tell me your name, it'll stick to me. But if you just wave and like, hey, like if I see you the next time.
Yeah, like I might recognize you, like, wave, but I don't know you.
Yeah, I think I. Was that the first time I actually saw you? Was it Loose Joints?
I don't, I, you know what? The first time I saw you, so obviously we always go, we try to go to Loose Joints as much as we can. And Coco had told me, and he was like, hey, you should come out to Loose Joints, especially. He's like, I know I always tell you to come out, but Dayla, I'm like, I don't know who that is. And he's like, no, she's dope. She's going to be playing. She knows her stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I went. Like to see him, but I went specifically to see you. So then we went and I was like, oh, she's cool. And you actually played, I remember one of the songs that you played specifically, it was like a disco version unless you just did a blend, but it was like a disco version of Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Was that mass production or what?
I don't know. No, it wasn't mass production. It was actually on the, I think it was on the, it was a salsa label.
Okay.
Yeah, but they did like a little edit of it. It was an edit of Ain't No Mountain High. And I remember that night too, because yeah. I turned it down. Everyone was like,
yeah, there is singing.
And that was like, that yep. was, I loved that night. It was a fun night that night. Yeah.
Tell yeah, Coco, say, I will say, let me play Loose Joints again.
Yeah. He's going to probably, you know, Coco, he tries to get everything.
He has so much going on, cool too.
Guy, so he got a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, that was a good night.
Yeah, because that was the first time I actually just saw you. And I was like, oh, well, it's obvious because you're the only female DJ. So I'm like, I know that's her. I'm not confusing her. So it was easier because I saw you and it was just you. So I saw your face and then I would just randomly see you like at a record show or at Loose Joints or I think just, you know, random, just not. Yeah. And then I would just go to see you play. So
yeah, that was actually, I think, my second time playing down at the Valley Bar. I think the first was with Degenification invited me out.
So how did you meet Degents?
Oh, I met Degents. I'm trying to think the initial day. I believe it was, we did a record show. I'll have to ask my husband. It's like, we don't know actually the day I met DJ.
But was it just like you met him through people, like in an event or?
No, I think he actually came up to us. I think it was the first record event that Coco actually held. It was at the Monarch. I don't know. That was in 2000.
Yeah, we didn't go.
15.
Yeah.
I think that was actually first initial day I met him. And then after that,
so kind of was that, so
we
was,
started actually how we got to really know each other was his nights, the 602 days. So we checked that out on Tuesday because I think he may have told us about it.
And yeah, like to swing by.
Yeah, and then that's when we started.
Like, I like watching him.
Yeah, he's, it was just fun. Like that whole, it's like actually a show. Like yeah. You're seeing him and he playing and it's like that guy gets down.
He does.
Yeah, so that's when we started getting to know the gents. And then eventually, you know, he just started telling me more about events going on within the Valley and we would go out and check him out and from there that's when he started plugging me with other people, like, you know, you guys check Daylight out. And
like I don't know Degents at all. I've only seen him play, like I've never actually had a conversation, but I always hear that he's just the nicest person. Yeah, ever.
So my first actual guest spot with him was down at the Bikini. Yeah, and that's how people got to really know.
What year was that?
That was in 2016, I think I played down there.
So did you...
I'm looking on my wall. Guys, I have like walls of flyers, so if you see me like...
And then her record room puts mine to shame. I'll say that.
She has like record bins.
Yeah, bins. Right. That's beautiful.
I'm trying to find that flyer, but it's not on my wall. Yeah, that was... But it has a year. Yeah, that was the night I played down there with Degents. I think that was 2016. Don't quote me.
So you played, that was the first time you actually played like an event in the Valley?
That was my first event in the Valley.
So you were here for about 2 years before you did an event? I was here for
2 years until my first, it wasn't. The first, well, I don't know if people remember me then, but I was just like with the record fair. That was 2015, we did the record fair at the Monarch. So that was actually my first time playing here. But as a guest DJ out at the event was with Degents in 2016. Yeah, so I did, you know how they had the DJs play at the record fair. So that's the first time I actually had brought my records out and played here. But far as holding an actual set, so event was with Degents.
Were you nervous because you hadn't played, or it's just normal, like natural to you?
It was more, I think I was nervous because I didn't know what to play actually,
or the crowd,
people would, you know, gather, and you know, I was trying to actually feel the crowd, which I knew what type of crowd it was by going down there and, you know, checking out the nights. So I knew the environment of what people like to do. That's my dog, Ginger, if you hear a little thing.
It's okay. We have dogs.
She wants to be a part of the interview, too.
Hi, Ginger.
Yeah, so I kind of much knew that people were vibing more on that funk and soul, because that's pretty much what his crowd was down there. And I kind of brought, like, a little of that and a little of, like, disco, a little of everything. So I kind of combined all that in one set. Yeah, so it was more like funk and disco. And so was what I, and then I kind of play a little of house music down there, and people were like, oh,
they're feeling it
different. Yeah, you know, so yeah, it was a nice night though. Everyone loved my set, so that was the most important thing.
So you were happy? Did that encourage you, like, playing that night and getting that positive feedback? Did that encourage you to be like, you know what, I'm gonna start putting myself out there again a little bit more?
Yeah, and then that was kind of hard for me because I didn't know the areas, you know, where all the parties were.
Connections.
Yeah, and the connections. So that was big ups with the gent, because he kind of put my name out there, you know, with people doing the different venues and stuff. So I think the next one I did was, I'm trying to remember. I think it was with Ed Navarro with Third Space. So he headlined Zernell one year, and I was a guest DJ with Zernell.
Is that how? Because I think Coco told us that the main, I think that he met you because of Zernell, was it that? Or something like he, that's how he...
Zernell, him and Coco pretty much worked together with Discogs and Crate Diggers. Actually, I got invited before I started playing out here in the Valley. I had, from the record fair, I got an invitation to do Crate Diggers in Portland.
Oh, okay. So did you go to do that?
Yeah, I went to do that. And
had you played it in Portland before?
No, first time ever. First time ever doing anything with Crate Diggers. So that was a big ups with Coco, and he was partners with another lady that was associated. I don't know if a lot of you know Elizabeth Maddox. So she came in and did a lot of the, hosted a lot of the Discogs. And that's where Zernell was into the Discogs and Crate Diggers fairs as well. So when Zernell came in and did the party for Ed, Ed invited me to come out and play with Zernell. So that was cool. And it was long with Coco. It was Coco and Jake Stellawell and who else was it? It was Scott O. And,
see, because I've heard of all these people, but I don't know them. Because so you're not from here, but I'm from here, but I am an outsider as well. I'm not like some super connected person. I'm just normalized. So people, they're like, oh, and I'm like, well, you know, there's people that I do know and there's people that I know of, you know. Yeah, these are people I know of. I don't know them.
Yeah,
but
and Navarro, yeah, he does the Third Space. I think he starts his normally around springtime, and then they're pretty much done like when it starts getting cold, because you know Third Space is just like that open area outside. So yeah, you guys check him out too. Look him up. He has a lot of events going on too. Actually, he'll be out. We'll be together again with the Downtown Phoenix coming up next Saturday with the the record fair at the
Crescent. You're playing, right?
Yeah, I'll be playing there too. So yeah,
I'll be playing too. I'm playing first, actually. Yeah. I don't know.
There she
what
goes
I am.
With another name. So you're Drea.
Okay, that. So okay, like, no. This is.
Is this another Drea? Because I'm like, is this Andy? Like, because I see Drea now. It's like, how many names does she have?
She has alter egos all day, every day.
Alter egos. So this would happen. So Coco's like, what do you want to go by? I'm like, I don't care. To me, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Whatever. And he's like, no, but what you don't. I'm like, I don't care. Coco calls me Drea all the time, which he does. And I think that's why Coco.
I call her
Drea. So that's why Coco calls me Drea. So he was just like, I'm just going to put Drea. I'm like, okay, I don't care. That's fine with me.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. And I'm like,
but now I feel like I'm like, now I'm like, not in a bad way, but I'm like, now I'm stuck with it. Like, now like, I have to go Drea. By that. Yeah. Andy's dead. Drea's
right. It would have been confusing too.
It is.
Andy, like, okay, is that Andrea or Andrew that's playing on?
Well, I
exactly.
Well, I met, and so I met this someone at the coffee shop, and I'd always get coffee, and they knew me as Andy, but then they. it was like a new employee, and they were like, what's your name, to write it on the cup. And I was like, oh, it's Andrea. And they went to go write it, but the other people that knew of me, they're like, wait, your name's Andrea? I'm like, Andy, short for Andrea. And I was like, Andrea's my government name. And they're like, okay. I'm like,
yeah. That's why I say you gotta get you just one name that everyone knows you. Because I saw, I was like, okay, Andy.
Yo, this
like,
girl has so many.
She's going by Drea.
She has an identity crisis. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so,
was funny when I saw the flyer. I was like, is that Andy? Or is it another Andrea? I don't know her.
But I will be there.
Yeah, because when I heard you mention we'll be playing at the record fair, I'm like, okay, so that's her.
So you saw the flyer and you're like, where is this girl? Is she right there, I guess. You're like, I think that's her. So I'm excited to see you play. And we're actually, so we're going to have one table, but the table's going to be split because it's going to be the podcast and it's going to be the record club. Okay. We're just going to be selling records and like little stickers, stuff like that, just to talk to people. Because like I said, something that I always hear, because we've been buying records, like just collecting, however you want to phrase it or whatever, for not forever, because there's so many other people who've been collecting longer than us, but for quite a while. So I'll meet other women or see, especially younger girls and stuff, when I'm out and I see them, they get like intimidated or they're real like meek sometimes, and I'll just try to strike a conversation with them, and they're always like, well, I don't know about this. So that's kind of like the point in the Crate Creepers having their side of the tables, to say like, hey, you know, like, this is for everybody, don't feel like you're gonna be shut out or whatever, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I like what you guys are doing. It's like, because I just told you, I was being honest, like, I didn't know you guys had a podcast, because, you know, if I don't see, like, and I'm not a big, like, Facebook gore, but I'll see events, like, bounce around through the feed, and I, like, if I don't see it, I don't know about it, because it's like, if I don't, if people never tell me about it, I would never go and search and find it, so I'm that type of person. Sorry,
but, well, not just that, but because actually I freaking did bad, didn't promo myself at the beginning. We're going to be playing at Palabras for First Friday, which is on 17th Street McDowell from 6 to 9. Jeff, I was telling you about Jeff, he's on Instagram as All Electric Kitchen. He's going to have an exhibit there along with Craig Cleveland. So we're going to be providing the music. But I hate when people say there's nothing going on. I'm like, there's tons of stuff. There's too much sometimes, it feels like.
And that's when people come in, they'll hit me like, what's going on in Phoenix? I'm like, everything is going on in Phoenix. It's like, I don't have to tell you. It's like, you have to, like, I mean, it's so much stuff going on, like, and it's not just the weekend nightlife here. It's something going on, like, during the weekdays. It's like, you just have to search for it.
Yeah, my brother was just here recently, and he was talking about, he's like, well, you know, I can go anywhere, because he lives in L.A., and listen to hip-hop any night of the week, all this other nonsense. I'm like, you can do that here, too. Also, you just have to seek it out. Yeah, it's just not a huge scene, maybe, here, as it used to be, but you can find it. There's somebody here. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, well, then just stay in L.A., then.
Yeah, it's like, people come and they think because it's the desert, like, it's boring out there, you know, they have no nightlife. And then we had to find it out for ourselves when we first moved here. We didn't know it was so much going on the house scene here. It was like, it's a lot of stuff going on here. It's like, even if you're not even into the music, it's just so much other stuff to do here. So if you're ever in the valley, everyone that's listening, like, check everything out. Like, it's always something going on.
And that's how you expand, I think, your horizons when, excuse me, you go and you do try different things, whether it's seeing someone play a band, play that you never have, or a DJ, or just a festival, or whatever it is. It's like, there's so much stuff going, especially this time of year, because it's beautiful outside.
Yeah, it is. And you get to network with different people, even if they're just like, you know, on a band, you're like, hey, they might need a DJ come in, you know, play some music in between the sessions, you know. It's like, you get to know, you network with everyone, and that's important. Regardless if you're a DJ or not, it's like, just network.
Be in your community.
Yeah, just get involved. Yep.
That's what we tell people, like, even if you don't want to be actively, like, doing something, just going and supporting, showing up, having a good time is being involved.
So. Yeah, and people see you and they notice you, like, hey, you know, that person's, you know, they're liking what we do. So, you know, maybe that person to tell another friend, and that's how it grows. Like,
the word of mouth, that's what I try to explain to some people. Sometimes I'm like, you can sit on your phone all day and do all this stuff and that stuff, but there's nothing like actually being out there.
Yeah, just get out there. Yeah, don't be that person that sits on the phone and just like click like dislike.
Yes. Talk to people.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking to people on the internet, but you know, some people, that's the only way they feel that networking works, and you know, the traditional way of networking seems to be the best way to do it.
Yeah. And if all those DJs, I mean, it's and they down a lot of people who do like a lot of the live on, you know, on the internet. You'll see a lot of DJs go live and they're playing at home. You know, a lot of people are just not that type of person that, you know, would like to go out and, you know, just play in front of a big, you know, audience or whatever. A lot of people like to stay at home and be in their own little zen, you know, and play. But a lot of times you get to network with a lot of those DJs too, because I know I found myself, my friends that I have now, I've met them over the internet, you know, like all these great DJs, they're at home playing and you get to meet them. And it's like, I met, I used to do this little internet show, and it was like it was nationwide, Stick Cam. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Stick Cam.
Yeah, I remember that.
I started off doing Stick Cam, like my first internet show, and I got to meet people, you know, on Stick Cam. I actually met people like from the UK and everything. So I'm like friends with them now, and it's like the internet is big. Social media is
big. If you use it in the correct way,
Use it in the correct way. And a lot of times people hear of you through, you know, social media or like the digital world is big today. A lot of people are doing everything like via internet, all these radio shows, you know, and it's a lot of stuff that we can't afford to go and actually have a radio show. But just like you guys, your podcast is known, you know, and you're on the internet and people hear you and then they see you out like, oh, those are the guys that do the podcast.
That's,
like,
I know that happened them. To us on Record
Store Day.
You know,
they don't even know, they haven't even seen you in life, but they know your voices and you say your name and you're like, oh,
like you see, like a shout out to Mary at Zia Records, because we seen, okay, so we were played at Record Store Day at Camelback, Zia Camelback, and she's like, oh my gosh, because like we know a few people that consistently listen, but we have consistent listeners, and I'm like, I don't know who you guys are. I'm like, reach out to us, let us know. So on Record Store Day, Mary's like, oh my gosh, like I'm putting the name to the face, and I was like, it was so, like, it felt good because I'm like, oh, getting that feedback and being like, oh, hi, like, thanks for listening, Mary. Yeah, so if you're listening again, Mary, thank you.
Yeah, you don't know how many listeners you have. It's like, and that was me. I didn't know how many people were following me on Stick Cam. And then they meet you like, oh, I know you. You know you from Stick Cam. Like, yeah. You used to play on such and such day. Like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a positive community online too, and that's mm-hmm. the key word is positive. Like, you know, there's a difference between, you know, accepting good criticism, positive criticism that can help you improve and stuff. But, yep. You know, there's going to be sometimes people that are negative and just ignore that stuff and just keep going. Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Ignore the negativity. Always keep it positive.
So your foundation is in hip hop, correct? So do you listen to any current hip hop artists? How do you feel about the current state of like rap and hip hop?
The new, and I've had this conversation before, I sat on a panel at the ASU. There was Women of Hip Hop I sat on last year.
Oh my gosh, okay.
And I got to meet a couple of, a couple of DJs, I think it was like one or two DJs from LA, and it was just like a whole different panel. It was more dancers, they were like hip hop dancers, DJs, and they asked that one question, so how is hip hop different from when you started? And I was like, it's a lot different. Because I think that's how I got into more like the disco and, you know, more like the funk, because a lot of the hip hop back then used real music. It was like they sampled real music. You could actually, and now it's like I collect music. Now it's like, oh, you know, so and so used that beat and like Tribe Called Quest, you know, he did like Q-Tip would like sample a lot of like old jazz, and like I collect jazz. Now I listen like, oh, that's where they got that from. So hip hop today is like, it was a message back then. Today is more like how much money I have, you know, the drugs I'm using today. And it's all like all digital beats. It's like that one beat. Everyone has that same beat. And what they call it, that trap music. Horrible. Horrible. So anyone out there, I'm not trying to down the music today.
Is it the more the beat or the flow or a mixture of both?
It's the flow. Because
everybody's sounding the same.
Everyone's sounding the same. It's like you listen to the song, like, did he talk about anything? Like, what was the message that you got from that song? And back then, hip hop used to have a message. And it was like people listening to hip hop kind of got that message. So it kind of tends on how the world is today. Like back then when I was growing up, like when you were saying at 14, the top songs back then, it was like, no, when I was 14, people, like when I was listening to a lot of hip hop, it was more like groups like Tribe Called Quest. Like when I was 14, you know, African Bambaataa, you know, they grew up in like the hip hop of the 70s. You know, I was more like that soul kid where I listened to a lot of underground hip hop, and a lot of them had messages in their song, and they people like the younger generation kind of like mimic those rappers back then. It was positivity, not any type of
like flashy.
Now today it's like what type of car you got in your video. Now they're starting like wear these skinny tight jeans, and they're flooding like capris and
flooding, you know, their high water.
Yeah, everyone wants to be like those rappers, you know. And it to me it kind of like the drugs today, you know. And they see all of this. You hear my stomach growling. I'm sorry.
No, I can't. I'm hungry too. So don't worry.
They see what's all in these videos. Half naked women. You didn't see that in hip hop
so
videos back then.
Do you? I guess my question is too. Like, so do you think it's more? Okay, so I'll say this. So I, the side of town that I'm from, that I grew up on, that I was raised in. So I grew up a lot in Maryvale, which is some people around here like that are from Phoenix and stuff, they'll know like Maryvale. They think it is like a scary place. The population is more socioeconomically not as good. It's black and brown more, you know. It's that's just what it was. And I moved a lot, but I always usually lived on those side of towns. And the music that we listened to in my neighborhood was different than maybe what was actually going on in the top 40, like the list. So like how you're saying, I kind of know some of those songs, some of them I don't, because in my neighborhood I was experiencing something else.
Because that's what you were brought, you know, your friends, you know, you had friends who like, you listen to, you hear this song, you know. It's like that was pretty much the thing.
Well, and
like,
radio was different back
radio
then.
Was different. They played what was positive to me, the hip-hop era back then. And if you was to, like, people was like, well, how would it be if, you know, those cats from back, you know, then making hip-hop would come today and make a hip-hop song? Like, how would it be? Like, would they try to mimic what's going on today? Or
and I feel so, like, the difference, like, okay, so the difference back then, I felt like there was more, like, separation between things, because when if I would go north, more north in Phoenix, they would have no clue about certain artists that everybody in my neighborhood loved and liked.
Right.
But they would be like, I don't know who that is, or I don't know. Or maybe they'd know a song or two that would end up going number one or whatever. Like they would know Poison. Everybody would know Poison because that was a national hit. But then there's other songs that to me that in my neighborhood everybody's dancing to or singing to or whatever. And I'd be like, hey, do you guys know this? Because for 2 years I moved north. Mm-hmm. And for those 2 years, it was a real culture shock for me.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to connect sometimes with people because they were just like from different worlds. But there was artists that I loved and liked, and they had no clue about.
They had no clue.
Because we were from different areas, technically.
Different areas.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel like, is it now, is it more like these newer generation, are they just imitating or mimicking what they think something is when they've never experienced
it? I think
it's
more a mimic than anything. Like you don't get, like us growing up, we had pretty much more probably positive guidance, and today new world. It's like you have babies having babies. And it's like they're teaching their babies on how they were taught, you know. So a lot of them are like, it's like the generation is like kind of mimicking the other generation. So if they had more of those old school moms or old school dads that brought them up on old school, you know, music, I think the music today would be much different. Like my son now, he's 18, and by his dad and me growing up old school and him hearing us play the music, he kind of tends to like that type of music. So he's pretty much old school hip hop himself. But the new artists that they have today, like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, you know, those are more like positive, like artists out there.
The messaging behind everything. Yeah,
the messaging is there. But when you have like those new artists, who is the
like Migos? Is
Migos,
that what
you're... like that's, you know.
Or Travis Scott.
Yeah, like what type of stuff?
They just talk through autotune.
That's when I was like, I feel like that's like, so I'm still, I don't think you're not old either, but there, we have a generational gap between us, but I think there was still, because there was no social media back then when we grew up and stuff like that, because I'm in my 30s, so you know, I knew it was life not was like before. Well, we did say your year.
Did you tell everyone my year?
Was did it? We? I don't think
they remember because it was no. So. Don't repeat it.
I did not say.
She's all go day. Back and edit that. Edit that right now.
I don't say the date.
But the era was the same. But it was the same.
The same vibe ish. Like things change or whatever. But and it's funny. But I just feel like too. Like they just like. There's just like that thing of imitation. It's more like, and to me, it's like, you know, go experience life, you know, in a positive way. Negative things happen to you because that's just life. And like, let channel that. Don't channel what you think somebody's wanting.
And a lot of the people don't know music. So if they was to go and, you know, hear like the, just pick up a record store, just pick up an old album, just listen to the music back then. It were real bands. You didn't have people using all these digital softwares to make a beat. And today you can't even get a song that's over 3 minutes. It's like 2.5 minutes long. It's like, and the song is over. Like back then people used to make 3-4 minute songs. You'd be like, you know, real music. And I think that's what it is. Everyone's into the digital world now. So it kind of changes the vibe of the music. And whatever they hear, that's what they're rapping off of. You know, once, you know, back then when you did have that old school beat, your lyrics kind of flowed, you know, to the beat. And you were more like, more on the positive level, you know, mellow type sound. But now it's like, hippity hop, hippity hop. It's the same. You know, it's like that. What is it, like 6-8 count? Like,
yeah. Well, how do you, what do you think about Drake? Because I feel like people are so always scared to say anything negative about him. And
no, Drake, to me, Drake actually started off a little different, and now he's going into that.
Because he's just going what he thinks.
He's going with time. And that's today, the artists feel that if they go on a certain flow, they're not going to be big anymore. So it's staying with the time of music. And I feel like a lot of artists are today are forcing themselves to go in different ways than what, you know, what's embedded in them. So they try to stick with time. And that's pretty much with all the celebrities and, you know, musicians, and they try to stick whatever, what's going on with time. That's why I like Eminem so much, because Eminem never changes his style. He'll come out and he'll make a beat and he'll talk about the new artists. It's like, this is not hip hop. This is not how it should be. And
because the thing about Eminem too is I feel like he paid his dues. He put in his time.
And then they want to, you know, go back and, you know, just try to start rivalry with the old school. Oh, you guys are old. You don't know us. But he'll tell you, like, man, we are the ones that got you where you are now, basically. And that's some of the new artists need to, you know, focus on some of the stuff that, you know, really made hip hop.
Like, well, so you said some of the current artists that you are a fan of are like Kendrick and J. Cole.
Yeah, they have that culture, and that's what hip-hop is. It's not just music, it's your culture. It's like, if you don't have that right upbringing of your culture, you know, how can you be hip-hop? Hip-hop is more of like your, the being of people, you know, how you were brought up, far as the artist you are. It's a whole thing with hip-hop. Now today, I don't even call the music hip hop. It's just music. It's
just like pop. It's pop now.
It's pop. It's like rap. It's like, you know, back then that was positive rap. That was like gangster rap. And
so, how did you feel about like Master P, like the whole Southern thing? Because I guess, well, I was listening to this interview with Jermaine Dupri, which is funny. Mm-hmm. So he talks about, he's like, I know people say, he's like, it's labeled trap music, he's all, but that I feel, he's like, it's actually, that's Atlanta. He's like, that's a, like an Atlanta sound now that like everybody's adopting. That's how he said he felt. But like, how did you feel about when those rappers started to come to the mainstream, like at, of that era? Like of like Juvenile, like Master P and then Juvenile and stuff like that. Cause I feel like I don't bunch Outkast with them. I don't know.
No,
I don't.
Outkast was, and I used to like Master P actually. I like the whole Southern, like Master P. I used to listen to Juvenile, and I used to listen to Lil Wayne when he was back with, you know, and when they were all together. But when Outkast was more of that Southern, they had, it was more like a Southern groove. I loved Outkast. Now, what I did not get big on was like the what they call the booty music, like the loop,
like
the
Luke, Florida.
The Miami bass. Yeah, that's what it was. Bass, the bass sound. I couldn't get
electro
it
bass.
That.
Yeah,
I couldn't get it to that. The whole
booty shakers. I know, because that's a different culture.
It is, yeah. And it was in Florida. It was in Louisiana. Pretty much Louisiana had that bass music. But far as like the Southern, like Scarface and who else we had? We had Outkast. Back then there was Goody Mob. I used to listen to a lot of Goody Mob. And I also liked all like the West Coast rappers. That was like my thing. Like Ice Cube. You had the...
Because they're using a lot of the funk influence.
Funk. Beats, yeah. It was funk. And they were using real music. Real music.
So
it's a difference.
When do you feel like, I know it's not to like put you on the spot, I'm like, tell me a point in time, but is there, do you ever have a moment where you felt like you did see like, man, like it's different now,
it's
like
changing.
It's changing.
Yeah. That would probably be after high school, when music started changing, even in the R&B, you know, genre, the singers were different. Hip hop started becoming different. I think 1994 is when I came out of high school, and it was still pretty much like, you know, good hip-hop, because I used to listen to a lot of Nas, Biggie Smalls, you know, those East Coast rappers. I used to listen to a lot of Wu-Tang and Redman, you know. And then once it got into, I think I'm trying to think of the years now, when Puffy Combs started introducing artists out, Mace, that's when it started changing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mace and who else?
What was it, that infamous, was it the Source Awards or something? Was it that Snoop was like, come to, was
Death
it because was, you're not gonna have the producer up or
dancing in your video.
He's talking about Puffy.
Yeah, yeah, talking about Puffy. That was like that. The rival, and that's when it started becoming like
ugly
rival with hip-hop. It was the East Coast versus the West Coast, and that's what changed it all, when people started like changing the music. Back then you didn't have all of that, because people were on the same vibe back then. But then when you started bringing into the dissing, you know, people because of the money that they had, you know, it
stupid
started becoming
stuff.
Stupid, you know, it just became stupid. Even when Pac was, you know, when he started off with Digital Underground, you see how fast he transitioned from being, you know, that positive hip hop to that like, I want to, you know, it was like war, you know, because of the time of how people were changing hip hop. They were more into like that West Coast versus East Coast.
Like thing. The drama of it all. Yeah,
the drama started. And when that started, it just changed hip hop.
So did that, like here, because we're not on the coast here. Like, we're really close to California. We have a lot of Californians, but we're not on the coast. So I remember it being a thing, but not here. So did it ever come up in Chicago? Like, no, anything?
Because we didn't have a lot of artists from Chicago. And then most of the artists that we had that was big was like, that was close to the Midwest that we knew of, that people used to listen to. It was like Crucial Conflict. You had, what's her name? She's on the Ricky Smiley show today. My mind just went blank.
No worries.
But she used to be like a Chicago artist. We didn't have too many people like, Fiasco,
Lupe.
Yeah. He was a Chicago artist and he kept it old school. He didn't come out with all, you know, the stuff that they were making, you know, then, that they're making now.
So, cause did Chicago basically like have it? Cause it, I know it like has its own identity. So is there anyone?
The Brat, that's who I was trying to think of. The Brat, she was.
Yeah. Okay. Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
So is there any, so how do I say this? Like, So Chicago now, like now Chicago's on the map and people are like, okay, kind of Chicago's its own thing. But like you're saying, then it was like the coasts were fighting or whatever and you guys are just doing your own thing. So when did you feel like Chicago started getting recognition for like hip hop?
Chicago actually never got recognition for hip hop because it was, if by Lupe having like his groove was more like a East Coast groove to me. He had that East Coast feel to his music. So a lot of times that when people came, you know, noticed or fame for their music out of Chicago, it was hip hop wasn't big in Chicago. Hip hop in Chicago was like, okay, it's just what people listen to. It's not what they're known for. Chicago is known for house music, period. And it's always been that way ever since, you know, in my younger days, it's always been a house music city. Hip hop was never big. So when you found that crowd of like the kids that like hip hop, it was like, oh, they're like the B girls and the B boys.
Oh, that, you know? Time to start. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So
there was culture for it, but you're saying the surrounding culture is mostly house.
Yeah. It was like, it was the, if you had like a culture for hip hop in Chicago, it was more just people, like we were brought up watching, you know, the videos or whatever, like the East Coast rappers and the West Coast rappers. It was never a big thing in Chicago as far as hip hop.
And how do you feel about ghostwriters in hip hop? Because I know they've always kind of been around, but...
Oh my God, I talked about this the other day. We actually sat around, you know, we were just all, like the conversation we're having now about hip hop. Me, in which I think it would be a bright idea, it would change hip hop like dramatically over again. If a lot of the artists we had back then would be ghostwriters to the artists we have today, it would change the game.
Yo, I encourage that.
Yes, like, do it. Like, I would encourage, like, all those old school hip-hop artists just to ghostwrite for some of these new artists today. Make them dig. Do the music for them, everything. It would change the whole world of hip-hop again.
Because
I actually had a friend, my friend Tanya, was like, what if they made a... another self-destruction. You guys remember when they did the self-destruction when all the rappers came together and did, like, it was BDP and MC Light and
so it was a big collab, basically.
It was a big collab of rappers. They did the self-destruction, which they was talking about what was going on in the world then, and they were trying to bring people together. I don't know if you guys,
maybe I'd have to hear it. Go ahead.
Let me just show you. Oh my
God. Dayla's currently in her bins looking for something. So, oh, okay.
These were all the rappers.
And it's Dougie. Yeah, okay.
D-Nice,
the old, like OGs, okay.
OGs of hip hop. And they were considered the OGs for real because they were the ones that actually, some of them actually started off you know, with hip hop, and if a lot of those people would actually go in and ghostwrite for a lot of the rappers today, hip hop would change. The game of hip hop would change.
So you're saying, because we all know that there is ghostwriters, so that's not controversial. It's just you're like, change who's doing the ghostwriting.
Who's doing the ghostwriting? And then if you like I was saying before, like J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, they were influenced from a lot of the old school rappers. So their talents have kind of mimicked from the old school, the OGs of hip hop. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, people said they noticed, like how you're saying Drake changed, and they said it's because he changed the team behind him. So once he changed the people that were doing the writing for him, that's what happened to Kanye too. Because they said Rhymefest used to do a lot of Kanye stuff. Yeah. So once that kind of tapered off and he switched gears with whoever, his style and everything changed because...
He did. And I think a lot of Kanye was like, he came from Chicago too, you know, a native of Chicago, but when you listen to what he makes now, you wouldn't even know, like, is he from Chicago? Like,
or you wouldn't even know that he used to have positive messages in his original music.
No, because the people he's around now and the people he's making music with, like Kanye is trying to stay in the game too, as well as all the you know, other old artists. They're trying to
keep up with the
time. And I think that's what happened with Drake, too. Because if you notice, in a lot of Drake's music now, it's more like that Caribbean soca, like, beat.
Yeah, because they said he hangs out with, like, Party Next Door and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, he's into the soca vibe now, because a lot of the grooves are more, like, Caribbean. Like.
Well, people were cracking up, because I can't remember the song, because especially I feel like nowadays you get so inundated with stuff, but there was a song... I think it was the DJ Khaled Beyonce song that came out, I think, earlier this year. But anyways, she like has like kind of a part where it's more of a flow and she's not singing. And people were like, that's how you know Drake doesn't write his own stuff, because she sounded just like Drake. Because the ghostwriter, they're not saying it in a negative way, but they're just like, you know, it's just like, change who's behind the music. And like, I was listening to, do you know who Linda Perry is? She's a producer. She did like a lot of pop stuff, like for Pink and, you know, the song Beautiful by Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was the producer of that song. She wrote it. It was her. So
that's actually a beautiful song.
It is. The production's really good. So she was saying how nowadays what's lacking is, she's all, back in the day, she's like, there used to be this thing actually called artist development, and it would allow the artists to find themselves and for you to like train them and finally tune them in order to actually do artistry. She's like, now it's just, they just get these same people and they're like, oh, you're gonna sing this and do this. She's like, there's no like feeling behind it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, there's no feeling. That's what we're losing today. They don't have the feeling for it.
Yeah, just everyone's a part of the machine.
And just before, we're gonna wrap it up here, just before we go really quick, do you care about Serato versus Vinyl?
That is another session. You have to come back on 27 episodes.
Well, we'll get into that next time with De La. And maybe we'll have Dawn jump in then.
Yeah, we'll both be like on the negative side of Serato.
She's like, I'm being honest.
Not that I do not prefer to use it. It's just that I'm so, Vinyl has been embedded in me, you know, since the time I started playing. Serato to me is an easy way out, and I can see that it can be good because it's easier to transport, you know, because, you know, trying to gather all these records up every time I go out and play, I'm going out with four or five crates of records, you know, it's an easy transport than anything, and you're able to.
Do you think it's easier to
music in one?
Do you think it's easier to blend and mix?
I feel like I'm going to say, because I'm not Serato
based
on, you know, clicking here. You have this program that can actually sync music and blend for you. That's not showing your talent. Like you know, it's a big thing. It's a big controversy for me.
But it's your preference. You're saying you prefer vinyl.
I prefer vinyl. But I can see it being easier if I was that DJ that did a lot of gigs and I didn't have time to actually transport all these records and stuff. I can see it being easy having all your music in one component. You can just plug in and you have all your music there.
Like if DJing's your bread and butter, basically, yeah. Like what you're doing for your actual career, life. Right, but
I'm not going to lie, I did a Serato before, you know, playing a party, but that was only because, you know, it was easier for me to get all my music and have it there at one spot. But guess what? My computer crashed.
Oh, so you lost all your music?
Aww. No, I didn't lose it. It was right in between I was doing a party and the computer crashed. And that's like embarrassing when you're at a set and your computer crashes. It's like, and it took a while, you know. That's the main thing with the digital stuff, you know. But the worst thing can happen, you know, you're out playing on vinyl, you may have a scratch or a bump in your, you know, record or some popcorn going on in your record, but it doesn't.
You're going to move on.
Oh, you're going to move on. You can hurry up and blend another song. But with a computer crashing and my software goes down, it's hard to recover from that.
No.
But to me, I think it's better. And not saying that people who use Serato can't DJ, but a lot of the new DJs today, just starting off in the DJ game, you know, they're not taught the basics. You have to go back to the basics of the vinyl. You have to know how that software came to be. Like, where did they get it from?
Yeah, why it's so easy and how it was before.
Why is it so easy and the concept of the software, where did they get it from? They all got it from analog. It all came from analog.
Have you seen that new thing? Remember they were telling us about it at Trill? You just slap it on the top of the record and you don't need needles or anything anymore.
It just reads it.
That's insane.
Yeah. I saw that actually online. They were, I was looking at someone that was at like a technology show or something. They were showing all the different stuff that's coming out. Like crazy. It's like, it doesn't make the DJ the DJ to me. Because you could just go in there and click a song and the whole software will blend it for you.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really used it, but yeah, there's obviously a divide in the community with that.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about the controllers?
I've not experienced those at all.
Again, that's just another subject for another day because that's another
We will have a part two, Dayla. Maybe we'll schedule you later in the month or in January, whenever you're free, and then we'll go further. And we'll throw Don in, so we'll do a little round table.
That's a 4-hour conversation right there. that's my whole outlook on the Serato. It's like, the basics is what I'm...
You're down with,
yeah. I'm down with the analog world.
Yay! Yay, the analog. So I just want to say thank you for welcoming us here and your beautiful home and your amazing record room. Like I should have, it puts ours to shame. And these beautiful, and I don't mean that in a way because you like to have more records. It's just, I love the vibe you have going on and how Don made these shelves. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to people's houses in there. Look, they make me feel shame. Like, you have some that collect way more music. So yeah. This is like nothing. This is preschool to some other people, collectors and stuff. But I do appreciate you guys coming by and thank you for selecting me for your podcast.
Like I said, you were on our little bucket list, so now I have to make a new one because I'm checking off everybody slowly that's been on there.
This couple, y'all, they're amazing. So get to know them. You see them out. Don't just tune into their podcast. Get to know them personally. They're cool people.
Yeah, and like I said, you can call me Andrea. And you're Andrea.
Since you're plugged now for Drea, that is your new name.
I'm stuck with
it. So when I call Andy, I do not expect you to turn around. I want to see Andrew's face.
Not mine.
You're Drea now.
Drea, I know. Now I'm going to change up everything. Thanks, right. Coco.
That's your name now. So look out for her Facebook, you guys. Change it to Drea.
Well, thank you. Like I said, thank you so much for, you know, agreeing and coming on here. And just really quick, our social media handles are Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, and review. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Audio Boom, CastBox, anywhere podcasts are available. Spotify is a big one. And Dayla, really quick before we wrap it up, what are the social media handles and your musical pleasure for the masses?
Once again, you can check me out, my website, mp4th.com. Also, you can check out my latest mixes and old mixes on mixcloud.com/Dayla0576. Keep up with my social posts. I post on Facebook on the Musical Pleasure for the Masses that pretty much advertises my monthly resident I do at the Bikini Lounge every fourth Saturday. And also, I do post to Instagram under Dayla is the name. That is DelizDaName. Dayla is the name. So you'll follow me on a lot of those. You'll see my upcoming events and new mixes that I post up. And also, you guys don't forget to check me and Drea out next Saturday. We'll be doing the DT Phoenix. That is a record show hosted at the Crescent Ballroom. That is 308 North 2nd Avenue. That's in Phoenix, Arizona, guys. So that's December 8th. We'll be jamming on the ones and twos there from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Do you know what time you're going to be on?
I don't know. I didn't get a time slot yet.
I'm the opener because I'm the baby out of the most inexperienced, but I'm fine with that because I want to get it over with. Yeah. So, but I'm going to have fun. So preparing some good stuff, but come see us, Dayla, and the other DJs that are going to be playing. And thanks for listening, and don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.